The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
So before I begin the formal talk this morning, are there any questions that anyone has about the practices that we've done already today, or anything that's kind of gone on that you're not clear about, or in terms of the meditation, the instructions on the meditation? Everybody's clear. If not, please, yes.
What is the equality complex?
The equality, yes. You've probably never heard of that one. It's a special one. So what that statement is about, it's really about, you know, getting at the heart of sort of Buddhist psychology, which is that the really one of the fundamental causes of our suffering is that we are separate from one another, and how we separate from another is that we identify with our ego, with ourself, right? And so what that statement is about is that the ego, the self, in terms of life, other people, takes various stands, right? Some people take the stand, I'm better than everybody. I know more than everybody. I'm smarter than everybody. I'm more ethical than anybody. I'm, you know, everything, you know, I'm better than, right? Other people prefer the other side of it, right? I'm less than everybody. I'm stupider than everybody. I'm more neurotic than anybody. I'm more broken than anybody. You know what I mean? So, you see, those are the, and we're sort of familiar with those. The equality one is a little special. It's like we're not into those two, but we go, but I'm as good as everyone, right? So please understand, this is not the political social equality, you know, which is what we're used to. This is more about the self. It's saying, you know, I'm as good as everybody else. I'm equal to everybody, but that's also not true, right? I mean, some people are smarter than us, right? I mean, some people are better, you know, have better musical abilities than us. You know what I mean? I mean, so it's, some people do a better job at work than us. So it's that kind of envy, jealousy thing that we can also get into. So that's the equality conflict. It's just kind of accepting the differences that we are as human beings, and that we have strength, we have weaknesses, and you know, we shouldn't think I'm as good as everybody. Is that clear? I mean, that's sort of what that's about. So it's all about how ego, self, kind of separates itself from life and gets itself into trouble when it has those various kinds of complexes. Okay. Any other questions about the practices that we've looked at already this morning? Yes.
Instruction also to at the same time maintain some portion of focus on the breath, or are we letting go of the breath and just focusing on the
I guess I would say it's your choice, okay? It's your choice. Oh, the question? The question was just about walking meditation and sort of the various ways it's done. In various Buddhist traditions, meditative traditions, it's done differently. Sometimes it's just walking, right? It's more the Zen way. In other traditions, it's a little more very much noting, really feeling all the sensations, of the heel and the touching of the earth, and it's very, Thich Nhat Hanh, it's sort of more like the Zen, but it also has the, you know, maintaining the awareness of the breathing, right? So again, you know, we get hung up on technique, and we don't get hung up on where the technique is meant to bring us. Where is it meant to bring us? So we walk in mindfulness, We walk in awareness. Is that clear? And that's, and so how we approach that, what works for us, I think is, you know, something you can experiment with. But, you know, we are, meditation is primarily a practice of the mind, right? So we're sort of training the mind in how to be present and concentrated and aware, right? In the case of walking meditation, as we move around the world, we don't get lost in dispersion, right? We maintain this kind of self-awareness, this kind of inwardness, even as we move about the world and we see things and we hear things and we do things, there is a part of us that just stays very present and aware. And so that's what we're getting to. Okay, so please don't get hung up on the technique. You know, it is often helpful to for many people that just the kind of the simple instruction of just walking sounds great, but people often kind of lose it. So having kind of another, a little stronger anchor, such as kind of being aware of your feet, you know, touching the earth, or being aware of your lower body, or maintaining awareness of the breath, is just helpful. Right? It gives us a kind of another kind of anchor. Is that clear? So, good. Good. So, this weekend, we are having a gathering of our Order of Interbeing community. I've talked about that in past years. But the Order of Interbeing, or it's called OI, is an order that was founded by Thich Nhat Hanh back in the 60s in Vietnam with just six people, six of his students. But over the last several decades, he's begun ordaining people again, and it's grown to it's well over 1,000 people internationally, if not more. We have a very active community here in the Florida Community of Mindfulness, I think close to 40 or 50 people who are either ordained or aspirants in the Order of Interbeing. And again, we're having a kind of gathering this weekend. To be in the Order of Interbeing really has two focus. One is there are these 14 mindfulness trainings of the Order of Interbeing, which really become the guidelines, or the help, the support for how to live kind of an awakened life, in life. And the other aspect of it is service to the Sangha, service to the community, building communities that live in an awakened way, right? And, you know, at the Florida Community of Mindfulness, we're doing our best to develop that capacity to live in an awakened way, to live in a way that generates compassion and understanding, and provide an atmosphere, an environment where people can come and learn and train and do their own healing and transforming. Last night with the community, I talked about two of the trainings of the 14, and I want to talk about a few others today. So let me just so you get a flavor. The ones we worked on last night were the 9th and the 10th. And I'll just read them. I'm not going to comment on them. If you're interested, the Plum Village website, the Order of Interbeing website, you can find the 14 trainings, and there is a book called Interbeing, which has the trainings plus Thich Nhat Hanh's commentary on them. So the 9th mindfulness training was truthful and loving speech. And these have grown over the years. 30, 40 years ago, they were very brief and to the point. But over the years, you know, they've been kind of revised, and so they've gotten longer. So they kind of say a lot more about how to do it. Usually when we do the recitation here in our community, we use the briefer for recitation, because it's hard really to in a very quick way get your head around these longer ones. But I just wanted to read them to you to give a flavor, but then I'll be commenting on two other ones. So the 9th one is truthful and loving speech. Aware that words can create happiness or suffering. We are committed to learning to speak truthfully, lovingly, and constructively. We will use only words that inspire joy, confidence, and hope, as well as promote reconciliation and peace in ourselves and among people. We will speak and listen in a way that can help ourselves and others to transform suffering and see the way out of difficult situations. We are determined not to say untruthful things for the sake of personal interests or to impress people, nor to utter words that might cause division or hatred. We will protect the happiness and harmony of our Sangha, that's the community, by refraining from speaking about the faults of another person in their absence, and always ask ourselves whether our perceptions are correct. We will speak only with the intention to understand and to help transform the situation. We will not spread rumors, nor criticize or condemn things of which we are not sure. We will do our best to speak about situations of injustice, even when doing so may make difficulties for us or threaten our safety. So that gives you a little flavor of what these trainings are, and I'll just read one more, the 10th, which was protecting and nourishing the Sangha. Again, the Sangha is the community that practices together. Aware that the essence and aim of a Sangha is the practice of understanding and compassion, we determine not to use the Buddhist community for personal power or profit, or transform our community into a political instrument. As members of a spiritual community, we should nonetheless take a clear stand against oppression and injustice. We should strive to change the situation without taking sides in a conflict. We are committed to learning to look with the eyes of interbeing and to see ourselves and others as cells in one Sangha body. As a true cell in the Sangha body, generating mindfulness, concentration, and insight to nourish ourselves and the whole community, each of us is at the same time a cell in the Buddha body. We will actively build brotherhood and sisterhood, flow as a river, and practice to develop the three real powers, understanding, love, and cutting through afflictions to realize collective awakening. So that gives you a little flavor of some of the trainings that are in this 14. So what I want to do this morning is share the 7th, and we'll see how about time, whether we can do another one. So let me read it first, and then we can look at it. The 7th mindfulness training, dwelling happily in the present moment. And I thought this was appropriate since we are doing that today. Dwelling happily in the present moment. Aware that life is available only in the present moment, we are committed to training ourselves to live deeply each moment of daily life. We will try not to lose ourselves in dispersion or be carried away by regrets about the past, worries about the future, or cravings, anger, or jealousy in the present. We will practice mindful breathing to be aware of what is happening in the here and now. We are determined to learn the art of mindful living by touching the wondrous, refreshing, and healing elements that are inside us and around us in all situations. In this way, we will be able to cultivate seeds of joy, peace, love, and understanding in ourselves, thus facilitating the work of transformation and healing in our consciousness. We are aware that happiness depends primarily on our mental attitude and not on external conditions, and that we can live happily in the present moment simply by remembering that we already have more than enough conditions to be happy. Well, I don't know if I'll get to another one today, but I think there's... As I say, they have kind of grown over the years, so in a certain sense, they're all commentaries already. But let us look at this, and then we can have some discussion. So it begins. Aware that life is available only in the present moment. So let's stop. I mean, that's profound. Right? Because most people live their life as life is lived in the future. Right? Many people live for the future. always thinking about planning, fantasizing, worrying about something called the future, as if that's where life is, in some place called the future. Many people think life is lived in the past. They're always going over. Right? They have an experience, and as they're leaving the experience, they're going over it. Right? Many people are going over experiences from earlier in the week, from earlier in the month, from early in their life, as if life is lived in the past. Right? So this is simple but profound as an instruction. Life is available only in the present moment. Right? What is the present moment? This is the present moment. Okay? Now this is the present moment. You see? And now this is the present moment. And it just kind of goes like that. Right? So, if you ask yourself, where is my life unfolding in reality? We would have to say, my life, all life, everybody's life is unfolding in reality in the present moment. I mean, I'm not being patronizing. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And yet, this most obvious fact, most people don't even notice, do they? So this is profound. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. That we become aware that I am only living life in the present moment. This is where life is being lived. And my thoughts about life, and my thoughts about the past, and my thoughts about the future are not life. They're just what? Thoughts. Now, there's another whole body of practice and teaching where we look in meditation at what is a thought. But, you know, thoughts are very ephemeral. They're not real in any real sense. But in this moment, we are real in that we are able to contact life through our senses, through our seeing, through our hearing, through our smelling, through our touching, through our feeling, and through our response to life, right? This is life. All of us, even though we've come, everybody here maybe has come from different places today and different history, you know, we're all here together in this moment. This is where our life is. I mean, is that, it sounds kind of crazy, but it has to be said. This is where we're living life. And we're always living life in the present, in this. This is where our life is unfolding. Or another way to say it is, this is where we're having experiences, right? So the word for what we're doing right now is we're having an experience. Is that clear? That's what we're doing. That's all we're doing. We're having an experience. Right? And moment to moment, we're having just different experiences. We're having experiences from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to sleep at night. And we know our mind in dreams are also having, you know, we can have experiences all night long. We don't even have to be awake to have experiences. But every experience we are having is unfolding in this moment. Even if we're worrying about the future, even if we're despairing about the past, all that is going on where? In the present moment. Right? Is that clear? This is where life is unfolding. So this is why this learning to recognize and be present is so essential. It is the ground of our practice. Right? It's like, you know, where is this whole thing taking place? Right now. If I want to transform, heal, change, when am I going to do it? Right now. Why? Because this is the only time I'm alive, is right now. Right? Anyhow, we'll go into that. Aware that life is available only in the present moment, we are committed to training ourselves to live deeply each moment of daily life, okay? So because it's beginning to dawn on us that life is lived in the present moment, that therefore my practice is learning how to what? Live in the present moment. Live in reality. Right? And he says, to live deeply each moment. Now that doesn't mean you have to have deep thoughts every moment and be a very serious kind of deep person. You know, this is not, you know, don't worry if you don't consider yourself a deep person. Okay, this is not that kind of deep. It means in it. You see what I'm saying? When he says deep, it's like in it, you know, kind of, you know, we want to get into our life, get into our moment, get into the experience, whatever we're doing. When we're sitting, we're sitting. When we're walking, we're walking. When we're eating, we're eating. When we're talking to somebody, we're just talking. You know, we're present and deeply involved. We're not kind of skimming through life. Many people skimming through life. You know, they're talking to somebody, but they're thinking about when is this ever going to end, or what am I going to say back? What am I going to do next? Or, you know what I mean? We're skimming. We're eating, but we're thinking, but we're reading, but we're watching, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not really present to what's unfolding in our life. So this is telling us that this is what we need to train ourselves in. You see? That's why we call it, we train in mindfulness. Why do we have to train? Because we don't know how to do it. Right? And that's, you know, don't take that personally. You know? Right? Nobody taught us. Right? You know? They taught us what? They taught us how to worry about the future. They taught us how to make to-do lists so we could really plan well for the future. Right? They taught us how to ruminate about the past. Right? They taught us how to fill our mind with lots of information. And, right? I mean, so, right? But no one ever taught us about how to use our mind. And what, you know, what are the characteristics of a healthy mind? Is that clear? So it's don't take it personally. But at some point, we have to acknowledge, yeah, I don't know how to do this present moment thing. I mean, I've read the books, you know, and I've heard the talks, and I talk the talk and all that, but I really don't know how to do it. Okay? So we need to train ourselves to live deeply each moment of daily life. And of course, the best way is to learn to be present. That's what we were practicing this morning. That's what we'll be practicing all day, just being present. Right? We will try not to lose ourselves in dispersion or be carried away by regrets about the past, worries about the future, or cravings, anger, or jealousy in the present. So again, if we would ask ourselves, all right, I get it. Right? Everybody kind of wouldn't, when I was saying, everybody kind of nodding their head, he's right. This is where we're living, and there is this present moment, and this is where life's unfolding. Right? Well, how come I don't really notice it all day? Right? It's because what? We're somewhere else. Where are we? Well, he's kind of giving us some examples. We're lost in dispersion. Dispersion means we're all over the place. We're dispersed. Our attention is dispersed. We're noticing everything. We're like a 5-year-old. We're just going, you know, everything, looking around, you know, looking around, responding. I have a 6-year-old grandson. I mean, it was like the hardest thing is, you know, he touches at the same time that he looks, you see. I mean, it's like there's no kind of holding back, you see. It's like, you know, so he's always grabbing or doing things that he really should not be grabbing or touching or messing with. But he doesn't have any self-awareness, you see. Right? He's dispersed. It's like monkey. He's like a monkey. Monkey see, monkey do. Right? Now, again, we find that, you know, funny with little kids, or we find it charming, or at least even if we find it annoying because they're, you know, grabbing things they shouldn't be grabbing, we understand that what? They don't know better. They're just being lost in dispersion is normal for a 5 or 6 year old, right? But many of us are a little older than that, you see. Right? And we should kind of know better, shouldn't we? And yet, if we really are truthful, we find, yeah, my mind is still sort of like that. It's really just all over the place. It's just reacting, you know, to the environment. I see this, whatever it is, we have to generate an opinion about it, a thought about it. We're all over the place, just from morning to night. We're just lost in dispersion. Is that clear? And dispersion, in this case, means kind of the things we see, the sounds we hear, the feelings we have. You know, we're just kind of always kind of just jumping around. There's no concentration. There's no mindfulness. Now, if we're not lost in dispersion, we like to do something else, don't we? Right? This is one of our favorites, right? If we're not just kind of monkey see, monkey do, lost in dispersion, of course, now with the internet and all the electronics, I mean, we can be dispersed thinking we're doing something significant. That's our great, the great modern technology. I'm not lost in dispersion. I'm what? I'm searching for something. And as I search for one thing, I'm told to search for another thing. And as I'm searching for the other thing, I'm told, you might be interested in this too. You see? See, we might call that dispersion, right? We started out focused and now we've gotten dispersed. Is that clear? So it's a highly developed art these days. And our capacity to be dispersed. But again, if we are not lost in dispersion, what do we love to do? We love to ruminate on afflictive mind states. That is one of our favorite things to do, right? So he says, or be carried away by regrets about the past. Now, there are many of us in this room who just love to just think had to all the things, you know, that they did wrong in the past, all their missed opportunities, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's just called regrets. We just love to go over them, right? Have a little free time, right? There's nothing I can get dispersed about, so let me kind of, you know, see. Let me remember all the things I should be regretful about, right? And we pull out our list, right? If we don't have anything recent, we pull out our list of all the things we are regretful about, you know, in the past. And then again, if we're not worrying, you know, then we, you know, what can I worry about now, right? And worry is always about the future. There must be something I can worry about now, right? Either something's going to happen very soon or something that may happen, you know, 20 years from now. I mean, this mind can worry about anything, right? It can worry about the world. It can worry about other people. You know, many of us go, well, you know, I'm worrying about somebody else. And we think that's helpful. You know, but we think, you know what I mean? I'm worrying about, well, this person's going through a hard time, so I'm worrying what's going to happen. And I'm worrying about this, and I'm worrying about that. Right? And we think we're doing something meaningful, when really all we're doing is what? Worrying about something that has not happened. That's something that is not real. Right? Remember? The future, this may be hard for people, the future and all our thoughts about the future is not real, right? Just nod your head that you're going to, right? The future implies something that has not happened. Is that true? Okay. If it hasn't happened, then any thought we could have about anything in the future is simply our fantasy about what could happen. We are fantasizing. And whether we're fantasizing about ourselves or others, we are. It's not real. Right? In the same way, we know the past no longer exists. Just nod your head. This is simple. This is called a reality check. Right? The past no longer exists. Is that true? Just nod your head if you agree with me. It no longer exists, so that all our thinking about the past is an exercise in going over something that no longer exists in any real way. Okay. Good. Carried away by regrets about the past, worries about the future, or cravings, anger, or jealousy in the present. Right? So here we go. Yeah, I've really learned not to think in the future, worry about it. I don't really ruminate about the past. I just spend a lot of time generating afflictive mind states about the present. That's where I love to go. You know, who am I angry at right now? Who am I resentful of? You know, we kind of love to do that one. Jealous, envious, cravings, you know, what do I need? What do I want now? I must need something, right? You know what I mean? We're just jumping around from one craving to another, always feeling like there's something missing. I need this, I need that, big things, little things, right? So we're lost in cravings, we're lost in, you know, the list goes on. Okay. So again, if we're not present to life as it's unfolding, we are lost in dispersion, we're lost in thoughts about the past, present, or we are generating thoughts and afflictive thoughts about the present. Afflictive, why? Because they disturb us. They disturb our inner peace. They disturb our inner harmony. Right? And they prevent us from doing what we really, I think, would want to do, which is to live life fully, to live life happily, to live life with ease, to live life with openness, right? Isn't that why we're here? I mean, well, right? Isn't that why we'd like? Well, why aren't we that way? Because we're too busy. You know, we're too busy what? Ruminating about the past, too busy fantasizing, worrying about the future, or too busy generating afflictive mind states about the present. Right? Who has time for wholesomeness as busy as we are? Again, I left out dispersion, which again has been developed to a high art in our current culture. Right? I mean, we could stay dispersed from morning till night. And unfortunately, many people do. It's become the new norm. And it's acceptable. We will practice mindful breathing to be aware of what is happening in the here and now. So we see that mindful breathing, being mindfulness, let's say, of our breath, is an anchor that brings us into an awareness of the here and now. Okay. Because our breath and our awareness of our breath is always experienced in the here and now. Right? If you're aware of your breath, you're not aware of a future breath, you're not aware of a past breath, you're just aware of your breath right now. Can you see? It's like being aware where your feet are. You know, this is where my feet are right now. It's a way to kind of bring you back into reality. This is where I'm breathing, sitting, here I am, right now. Oh, you know. This is a good way to enter reality, present. So utilizing mindful breathing allows us to then become aware of what's happening in the here and now. Is that clear? So that is why, for those of you wondering, you know, why do they put this emphasis on mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the breath? Because it is that entranceway that allows us to have a ground in reality that we can attend to what's really going on in the here and now. It allows all of us to come out of the trance of our thoughts. We're entranced by our thoughts. We're entranced by our stories. We're entranced by our ruminations, our worries. Do you see? We're entranced, right? Which means oftentimes we do not even know where we are, do we? Does everybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not the only one who has this experience. I just want to make sure. Okay? You see, that's in that moment of entrancement. And oftentimes our entrancement is with things that aren't very wholesome or healthy for us. In that moment of entrancement, we lose our connection to what's going on in reality. Right? I mean, you can sit here in meditation, right? You're sitting here in meditation. And yet, you could go anywhere in your mind, couldn't you? Right? Everybody know, everybody's been sitting here this morning for a couple hours. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you can go anywhere. The mind can get lost in any, you know, anything, right? Past, present, future, real, unreal, movies, you know, stories, right? And we forget what? That my life is unfolding in this moment on the cushion, in the chair, in the meditation hall, and I'm supposed to be learning how to be present to that. And you see how easily it is for us to get lost, to space out. Right? So, mindfulness, and especially these fundamental practices of awareness of the body, awareness of the breath, give us a ground, an anchor, something that will then bring us back into the present. We open our eyes. Oh! Oh! You see? I'm not there, wherever I was fantasizing. That's not real. And whatever drama I was going over from the past is not real. And all my worries and concerns are not real because when I open my eyes, they're not here. Have you noticed that? They're not here. Well, if they're not here, then they can't be real. Should I say that again? Because I know I am going against the grain here. Because we believe our thoughts and our stories and our fantasies and our ruminations and our dramas are real and not just generated by the mind. But this is real, you see. This moment is real. This is where we really are. And as I said earlier, it's changing from moment to moment. But it's always the same. This is reality here. And if you want to live in reality, then live in this. And as it was said earlier, how do we want to live in this? Fully. Fully what? Fully present. Fully aware. You know, whatever we're doing, fully, you know, when we're eating, we're eating. When we're with somebody, we're with somebody. When we're watching something, we're watching something. When walking outdoors, we're present to the experience of what we're experiencing. That's real. That's life. But if we're not present to life and we're just living in our thoughts about life, no wonder we don't feel whole. No wonder we don't feel solid. You see, no wonder we feel dispersed inside. Because we are. You see? Because we are. Because we're not experiencing life in reality fully. That is an experience. When you begin to cultivate mindfulness and presence, you will understand it's an experience. Right? And it is different than living in your thoughts. Past, present, future, whatever. It feels differently. We'll practice mindful breathing to be aware of what is happening in the here and now. We are determined to learn the art of mindful living by touching the wondrous, refreshing, and healing elements that are inside and around us in all situations. Okay, so this is very important. It's kind of taking it to the next step, okay? It's sort of like, all right, I'm present. Okay, I followed the instructions. I've learned to be present, to be aware, to notice. Now, when you become aware and present and begin to notice what's going on inside and around you, you might notice what? There are some things in life, some experiences in life that are nourishing, wholesome, supportive, right? Support positive, wholesome things within yourself and others. And you also will notice what? That there are many things in life, experiences in life, that are not wholesome, that don't nourish the good qualities in you. They actually nourish unwholesome qualities, negative qualities, harmful qualities, toxic qualities. Is that clear? So, it's not like mindfulness is the answer. Mindfulness gives you the ability to find the answer to that which is most significant to you, which is what? How can I be happy in this life? How can I go through my day feeling good, at ease, whole? Right? How can I be a loving, kind, intelligent person in this? You see what I'm saying? That's what we want. But how do we do it? Well, we have to have this capacity as we go through the day to notice, you know, what's going on and to see clearly, you know, that there are choices to be made and to learn the art of how do I nourish myself? And he says they're always available to us. And some people might go, no, obviously Fred has never been in my life, you see, because I have lots of challenges in my life, don't I? And I got a lot of negative people around me, right? Everybody know? Right, you see, somebody's mind goes. I don't buy this. Touch the wondrous, refreshing, healing elements that are inside and around us in all situations. I mean, that's quite a statement, isn't it? It's not saying 50-50. It's saying in all situations. See, how can that be? You see? I mean, we could say, all right, I understand walking in the gardens, going to the beach, being around, you know, wholesome, good people. You know, I can see how that's nourishing to me. But what happens when you're kind of, you know, walking down Nebraska Avenue, right? You know, what do you do when you're in kind of in a difficult situation or around people, you know, that are unkind? You know what I mean? You know, what's nourishing about that, you see? Did you understand how we said? Yeah. But there is nourishment there in every situation. But we have to look for it, right? One of the things that's always available to us is mindfulness. Right? Just to be aware without judging, without evaluating, without comparing. Just to generate the energy of awareness, of mindfulness in every situation is nourishing to our minds. Okay. But also even in difficult situations, right? If we're in a difficult situation and we find ourselves getting frustrated or irritated, we can always generate patience, understanding. Oh, see, those are mind states that are nourishing, that are wholesome, that feel good, right? We can always generate loving kindness, even to someone who's not very kind or treating us very kind. We can always generate loving kindness toward them. We can be even in the presence of people who are fairly toxic and we have that negative kind of response and we can get into a very negative mind state, but we could always generate what? Understanding and compassion. Yeah, why are they where they are? Because they're suffering. Only people who suffer do things like that, right? Talk that way, act that way. Only people who are ignorant do things like that. So we generate rather than a negative or afflictive or unwholesome response, even in that situation, we generate that which is nourishing. Nourishing to our mind in the present and nourishing to our own development. In these days, in this world that we have, from the point of view of cultivating wholesomeness in the midst of adversity, it's very, lots of opportunities these days. And we should be aware of that. You know, the worse things get, the more necessary it is to dig deep to find the right response. Right? The more difficult the situation is, the more toxic a person is, the more important it is that we learn how to generate mind states that are nourishing for us and nourishing for the person and nourishing for the world. And that is always available to us. We determined to learn the art of mindful living by touching the wondrous, refreshing, and healing elements that are inside and around us in all situations. And that's, again, remember I said these are what people in the Order of Interbeing are training in. So these are instructions. These are pointers. So that's why they're so strong. Because again, our mind wants to go, There's nothing wholesome in this situation. There's nothing wholesome in that person. There's no way that I could possibly generate any nourishing mind state. And that's not true. Actually, in a certain way, the greater the adversity, the greater the toxicity, the more that kind of positive response is necessitated. And then it goes on to say, in this way, we will be able to cultivate the seeds of joy, peace, and love and understanding in ourselves, thus facilitating the work of transformation and healing in our consciousness. Yeah, so this is very important, okay? I often call this, the difference between being a small picture person and a big picture person. I think most people are small picture person. You know, we're always taking snapshots of what's going on. You know, like this experience, this person, that person. You know, we're always reactive to kind of the situation like it's unfolding in the conditioned way we've always done it. We don't see the big picture. The big picture of what? Well, let's say you're going shopping for food, right? And you've decided what? I'm going to eat healthily. Anybody ever been down that road? No. I'm going to start eating healthy food these days. I'm no more, right? You see, that's big picture, right? You have an idea of how you want to eat, right? So when you go into Publix, there's a context in which you're making choices. Is that clear? You see, if you don't have that in your mind, oh, I want to change my eating habits and be healthy for whatever reason you have. If you don't have that big picture in mind of where you're going, let's say with your eating, you will go into Publix and you will do what? You'll do what you've always done. Right? Do you see? So, having a big picture about eating, you can see it will change your shopping. It will change what you buy, okay? Because you're developing this big picture, this kind of, I see the bigger picture of my life and what I want to do with my life, or how I want my, let's say, my physical health to be. So therefore, in all these situations, when I'm shopping, when I'm cooking, when I'm out to eat, I'm making choices in terms of the bigger picture of what I'm doing with my life around eating or health of my body. Is that clear? You can see how important that is. And without it, you'll continue to make the same choices you've always made. So he says, we'll be able to cultivate the seeds of joy, peace, and love and understanding in ourselves, thus facilitating the work of transformation and healing in our consciousness. Oh. This is a question to ask ourselves, everybody who's hearing this talk. You know, is that what I'm up to? You see, is that what I'm doing? Is that what I want to do? Do I understand that all the qualities positively and negatively, that are in me and the ones I want to change are in my consciousness, and therefore I have to go about, I want to change, transform and heal my consciousness? See? Is that in our minds? Just like going into Publix. Yeah, I want to heal this mind of mine. Heal it from its wounds. Yeah, I want to transform this mind of mine. I'm sick of afflictive emotions and ruminations and dispersion and blah, blah. You know what I mean? I'm sick of it. I want to transform. Right? I want to nourish the wholesome. I want to stop nourishing, right? See, that's big picture. Is that clear? See, that's big picture. So when the stuff is coming up, as it will continue to come up all day, you have a context in which you're dealing with stuff. You see, if you say, yeah, I want to be a kinder person. I would imagine most people in this room, I'm just guessing based on kind of people who come here, is that fairly acceptable? I mean, most people would like to be a kind person. Okay. Well, see, this is the rub, you see. The problem is just wanting to be a kind person doesn't make us a kind person. Anybody notice that? Right? To be a kind person, we have to do it with real people. Right? And being kind to people you like and are kind to you is not helping you at all. You're already doing that. Okay? By learning to be kind in situations to people that instinctively you don't want to be kind to. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, that's how you develop kindness. Right? But if you're not have that awareness, I want to be a kinder person. So as this old stuff comes up to you during the day, you are aware, you're mindful of it, and you change. That's how transformation occurs. But you have to want to. It has to be in your consciousness. Right? You know, you just can't go, oh, I want a healthier body. Yeah, I'm going to change my eating habits. I'm going to make healthy choices from now on. Right? You know, we maybe think about that when we're taking a shower or something, you know. You know, but when we go into Publix, it's like it's not even in our consciousness. Right? Or it only gets in our consciousness when we're home unpacking. You know, oh my God, I did it again. Right? We need to have this, I want to transform and heal my mind, my consciousness. Where am I going to do that? In life. Right? You know, where does healing and transformation occur? In the present moment. Remember? Where's life? In the present. This is life. If I'm going to heal and transform myself, I can only do it in the present. Right? Anybody try to heal and transform themselves in the past? I'm going to think about the way I was 10 years ago and heal and transform it. Right? I mean, that's like a science fiction movie, but it's not reality, right? Or I'm going to, starting tomorrow, I'm going to be a kinder person. That's it. No more of this angry, judgmental. I'm going to, starting tomorrow. What happens? Never happens. It just happens flickering. Right. So, if we want to heal and transform, if we're serious about that, if we're serious about becoming a different kind of person, experiencing life differently, showing up in life differently, it has to be in our consciousness. Fairly consistently. Right? So we remember. Remember we talked about mindfulness earlier? Part of mindfulness is remembering what I wanted to remember. Right? Yeah. I want to develop kindness, loving kindness. The thoughts I'm having now are definitely not that. Right? Oh. So if I'm going to change, when am I going to change it other than now? When I'm having these other types of thoughts. Resentful thoughts, judgmental thoughts, you know, whatever, about oneself or anybody else. It's only the change has got to come in our consciousness. Right, that's where transformation and healing take place. Nowhere else. Because life only unfolds in the present moment. If we want to change, we can only change now. Right? So even in our meditation, let's say you've had this experience where all of a sudden you realize, well,